We're going to look at the final stories here of Isaac tonight, and we're going to look at Jacob falling in love with Rachel, and we're going to see this dysfunctional family of con artists with Jacob and Laban working together, and see if there's any relationships to any of your families. No, I don't mean that. Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said unto him, "You shall not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. Arise and go to Paddan Aram." I'd like you all to say that out loud with me, the name of that place, Paddan Aram. Doesn't that sound like a British, you know, pop rock group? It does. Paddan Aram. "Arise and go to Paddan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, my mother's father, and take a wife from there of the daughters of Laban, your mother's brother." And so Rebekah, you'll remember, was Laban's sister. And when Abraham sent his servant to find her, Laban was the guy that came out. And, well, you weren't there last Sunday morning. He came out and he brought the 10 camels back and was very helpful to the guy to bring him and to encourage him to take his sister with her. And I think he liked all the money that was floating around there and the gifts that were given. "God Almighty bless thee, make thee fruitful and multiply thee, and that you may be a multitude of people." You may want to circle that for yourself. "Give you the blessing of Abraham, and to thee and to your seed with thee, and that you may inherit the land wherein you are a stranger, which God gave to Abraham." And Isaac went away from Jacob, and he went to Paddan Aram unto Laban, son of Bethuel, the Syrian, the brother of Rebekah, Jacob and Esau's mother. When Esau saw that Isaac had blessed Jacob and sent him away to Paddan Aram to take him a wife from there, and that as he blessed him, he gave him a charge, saying, "You shall not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan." And just as a preface, as chapter 25, or was it 25? Let me see. 25, yeah. Esau despised Jacob, and he wanted to kill him. So his mother sends him away, Jacob, to his family's house to find a bride so they can keep the blessings of Abraham in the family. And Esau has got murder in his heart, speaking of his younger brother. And he's very, very jealous of him. So Jacob obeyed his father and mother and was gone to Paddan Aram. And Esau, seeing that the daughters of Canaan pleased not Isaac his father, because he overheard that you're not supposed to marry a Canaanite, Esau went unto Ishmael. And remember, Ishmael was the son of Abraham's handmaiden, Hagar, and he was the father of the Arab nations. "Took unto him the wives which he had at Mahalath, the daughter of Ishmael, Abram's son, the sister Nebajoth, to be his wife." So he not only married one Canaanite, he married two, and this was to despise his mother and his father. I'd like you to turn with me to, hold your place there, but turn with me to chapter 6 of Ephesians for just a moment. Chapter 6 of Ephesians. And look at verse 1. In fact, we read verse 1, 2, and 3 out loud together with me once you get there. "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that you may live long on the earth." The only promise of the commandments that you'd have longevity of life was honoring your mom and dad. And Esau despised his mother and father, did not respect them at all. So by marrying these two Canaanite women, he was really turning against God. And we looked last Sunday morning at that statement out of the book of Romans and of Malachi, says that Jacob I loved, but Esau I hated. And people say, well, how can God hate one and love the other? That's not fair. I'm not going to believe in a God like that. But the word hated is rejected, and he rejected him. This is one of the reasons he rejected him right here. "Then Esau went unto Ishmael and got his wives. Jacob went out from Beersheba and went towards Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place and waited there all night, because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place, and he put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep." And by the way, chapter 26 is chapter 24, I think it is, where I already told you that about cigarettes, or first found the Bible in smoking. It was right there, yeah. Because Rebecca lit off her camel, and that was where it was found. Just so that was the mother of Jacob. And so he went to a certain place, and he took these stones, and he used them for pillows, and he lay down in the place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, And the top of it reached to heaven, and behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. So it's a stairway going up to heaven. It's a ladder, it says here. Another translation is a stairway. And it's grounded on the earth. So when God lowered this out of heaven, he had to put the foundation on the earth, and angels are coming and going. And we have angels coming and going. I don't know if they come on stairways or just can come through the air, but they're coming and going all over San Diego every day and every night. And behold, the Lord stood above it. So he's at the top of it. And said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land wherein you lie, I will give to you and to your seed. And your seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in you and in your seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with you, and I will keep you in all places wherever you go, and I'll bring you again into this land. For I'll not leave you until I have done that which I have spoken to you. And this is a great promise to him, because he's going to have rough times in his life, but God has promised him, I will bring you again to this place. And I'd like you to remember that about God, that he has promised that he's going to take you to heaven if you've surrendered your life to him. He's given you many promises. And the promises that he's given you may be different than me, though we all have the same biblical promises. But maybe there are certain promises that God has made to you. And it may be a time till you go back to that place of blessing, but God will never forget that he promised the blessing. But he takes you out of the place of blessing so that you can grow. And you may need to go into rough times. Like you're going to see, this guy's going to go into 15 years of rough times against his will. And he's going to surrender his strong will, because he's a very manipulative used car salesman type of a guy. And he likes to have his way, but God is going to take him for 14 or 15 years out of his way just to humble him. And some of you may be in that place right now that you're not experiencing the blessing. But God has promised the blessing, and it will come to you. But he's trying to take out of you those things that hinder blessings in your life. And he wants to free you from yourself and self-absorption and self-centeredness. And he wants to get you to that place of total surrender to him. And this is what we see here with Jacob. He says, I will not leave you. I am going to come back, and I'll bring you back to this place of blessing. And behold, I'm with you wherever you go. Jacob awaked out of his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. If you have a pen, would you underline that in your Bible? Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. Because it's a great reminder to us that you can be in a place and not even know the Lord is there. Like, do you know he's in this room tonight? He's here with us. You could be here and just say, well, I don't notice, I don't see him anywhere, but he's here with us, and his presence is with us. But you may be distracted, and you may be off in another world in your mind, and you may be that way every day of your life, and you miss that the Lord is truly in this place. But Jacob had to lose the vision or the dream that he is having of his ladder and the angels coming and going, and in it he had a great revelation of God standing above it, and he heard God's promise to him, and God used that. But it was after God's presence had actually become invisible that he realized, I didn't even know the place I chose to lay down, that was of the Lord. And you may not even know the place that you're living is because God has brought you to that apartment or that condominium or that neighborhood, because he has a work that he wants to do there. And that's one of the reasons I think that Jesus said, when you travel and you go into a house to his disciples, he said, put your blessing upon that house. But if your blessing comes back to you, leave that house, because my presence isn't there. And I've done that traveling on the road. I've moved 3 or 4 times in one night from a hotel room into another one, because who knows what went on in that hotel room, but I just didn't like what was happening. And I want you to underline that. And I could read that out loud with me right now. Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. Let this be a day that you go forward and always look for the Lord in the place wherever you are. If it's in Vons or Lucky's or Albertsons, or if it's Home Depot or Home Expo or Nordstrom's or the Shell station or the Standard station, whatever it is, see if the Lord's around. Why wait till after he's gone to say, surely the Lord's in this place and I didn't know it, and you missed the blessing of it, the opportunity to see heaven come down to San Diego, because you're his vessel that he wants to work through. And he was afraid. And he said, how awesome, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose up early in the morning, and he took the stone that he had put for his pillows and set it up for a pillar. a pillow for a pillar. And he poured oil upon the top of it. And he called the name of that place Beth-El. Beth-El means, Beth means house, and El means God, so it's the house of God. And so he poured oil upon the rocks to bless and to anoint the place. None other than the house of God. But isn't it interesting? There's no roof, there's no walls, there's no floor, there's no air conditioning, there's no heating, there's no lighting system, there's no PA, there's no windows. It's the house of God, because he was in God's presence. And you want to remember what Paul the Apostle said in the book of Acts, it's in God in whom we move, in whom we have our whole being. You want to experience God like that, that wherever you are, you're in the presence of the Lord, and you're in his house, you're in his home. Jesus said, if two or more of you gather together, there you are in our midst. Jacob rose up early in the morning, and he called the name Bethel. Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house, and of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely tithe back to you a tenth. So what he's saying here is, God, I'm leaving my mother, my dad's died, my brother Esau wants to kill me, I'm leaving everything I've known. I'm going to a foreign land just like Grandpa Abraham, and I need to know that you're with me. And if you'll do this for me, I'll make a vow with you. If you will be with me, and you want to make that vow, you want God to be with you, and if you'll keep me in this way that I go, he's going in the spirit, he's not going back to his old fleshly ways, and you'll give me bread to eat if you'll feed me, and raiment to put on. And St. Paul said, wherewith be content with food and raiment, for godliness with contentment is great gain. So just be satisfied you have clothes on your body right now, and that you have food that you've eaten and you can go eat, and keep me spiritual, walking in a spiritual way. Keep me off of the materialism of this world, so that I come again. I want to return back to my father's house, and I want to do it in peace. I'll say that you are my God. Jehovah is my God. And I will make a covenant with you that I'll give you one-tenth of everything you give me, all the money you give me, all the cattle you give me, all the sheep you give me, all the donkeys you give me. Whatever you give me. Chapter 29. Jacob went on his journey and came into the land of the people of the east. And he looked, and behold, a well in the field. And lo, there were three flocks of sheep lying by it. For out of that well they watered the flocks, and a great stone was upon the well's mouth. And there were all the flocks gathered, and they rolled the stone from the well's mouth and watered the sheep and put the stone again upon the well's mouth in its place. And Jacob said unto them, my brethren, whence be ye? And they said, of Haran are we. And he said unto them, know you Laban, the son of Nahor? And they said, we know him. And he said unto them, is he well? And they said, he is well. And look, Rachel, his daughter, comes with the sheep. And he said, lo, it is yet high day, neither is it time that the cattle should be gathered together. Water ye the sheep and go and feed them. And they said, we cannot until all the flocks be gathered together, until they roll the stone from the well's mouth, and then we water the sheep. And while he yet spoke with them, Rachel came with his father's sheep, for she kept them. And it came to pass, when Jacob saw Rachel, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, and the sheep of Laban, his mother's brother, that Jacob went near, and he rolled the stone from the well's mouth and watered the flock of Laban, his mother's brother. See, they told him, no, we have a regular way we do it. He didn't care. He saw her and said, I'm going to help her. And so we see that his heart's already going out to her. And Jacob kissed Rachel and lifted up his voice and wept. I'd call that a fast mover, wouldn't you? I mean, that's... Ladies, have you ever had that line before? Hey, let me water your sheep. And then guy kisses you. That I don't think that's kind of a strange one, isn't it? That's called hitting on Rachel. Jacob told Rachel that he was her father's brother and that he was Rebekah's son, and she ran and told her father. And it came to pass, when Laban heard the tidings of Jacob, his sister's son, that he ran to meet him, and he embraced him and kissed him. And I guess it's all in the family, I guess, kissing cousins. And brought him to his house, and he told Laban all these things. And Laban said to him, surely you are my bone and my flesh. And he abode with them the space of a month. And Laban said unto Jacob, because you are my brother, should you therefore serve me for nothing? Tell me, what shall be your wages? And Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah, she is the oldest one, and the name of the younger is Rachel. And Leah was tender-eyed, which means she has a very sweet disposition and easy to get along with. But Rachel was beautiful and well-favored. That says a lot, well-favored. So who do you think the guy's going to go for? He went for the beautiful and the well-favored. And Jacob loved Rachel and said, now notice he makes the deal. I will serve you 7 years for Rachel, your younger daughter.
I would have said, I'll work for you for a week.
Laban said, it is better that I give her to you than I should give her to another man, so stay with me. And Jacob served 7 years, what a long time, for Rachel, and they seemed unto him but a few days for the love he had to her. Jacob said unto Laban, give me my wife, for my days are fulfilled, that I may go in unto her. And Laban gathered together all the men of the place and made a feast. And it came to pass in the evening that he took Leah, his daughter, and brought her to him, and he went in unto her. And Laban gave unto his daughter Leah, Zilpah, his maid, for a handmaid. And it came to pass that in morning, behold, it was Leah. And he said to Laban, what is this that you have done to me? Did not I serve you for Rachel? Wherefore you have beguiled me, so you tricked me. And what he did was, after he had been drinking a little too much, he put the older sister into the tent. And he went in and he had sex with her. And he woke up in the morning and there's no lights, of course, in those old tents. And he woke up in the morning and he saw, I got the older one. I got the tender-eyed one. And this isn't what I bargained for. So he's really ticked off. One point I wanted to make there was, look at the honesty of the relationship. That it says that I want her now. She's mine. I've worked 7 years. And I want to consummate our marriage. That they were pure that whole 7 years. You know, if you're a Christian and you're single, there's no type of sex, any kind of sex of touching each other that is legitimate, biblically or spiritually before the Lord. It's amazing some of the stories I hear in counseling of what Christian young men and women think that they can do. There's nothing you can do. You can jog and take cold showers and do a lot of push-ups. That's about it. But there is no cut in the corner. Well, we didn't go all the way. Well, which way did you go? You know, it's still, that's the marriage bed is undefiled, the Bible says, and it's pure for the husband and wife. And so you got to be very careful there, or you're going to get the wrath of God against you. It came to pass that he said, you've tricked me, you beguiled me. And Laban said, it must not be so done in our country to give the younger before the firstborn. He could have told him that 7 years earlier, don't you think? So it shows his personality. He's a con man working a con man. So these two guys are both manipulators. And this is going to go on for quite a while. So he said, fulfill her week, and we will give thee this also for the service, which you shall serve me yet another 7 years. So he has to work 14 years to get the woman he loves, and he's going to do it. But he gets two wives out of the deal, though he really didn't want Leah. Now he says, fulfill her week. Now, what does that mean? In their culture, there was the betrothal period. Remember, Joseph and Mary were betrothed. They hadn't been married. They're considered married, but there's no sexual relationship for that 1 year, and they don't live together. At the end of the betrothal period is when they have a big festival. And in a small community or village or town, or if it's in a large city like Jerusalem would have been a larger city, the community that knows them, they party for 1 week, 7 days. They're so excited for the rest of the family. And the father adds a room onto the back of his house to expand his house. Now remember what Jesus said, you believe in God will believe also in me. For in my father's house, there are many rooms or many mansions. He's adding on for you. And the bride would be put into that room for 7 days, and all of her in-laws and her family would be outside in the front of the house or in the front yard or wherever they decided to have this festivity. And day and night, there'd be dancing, there'd be music, there'd be food, and there'd be drinking, and there'd be gifts given to the couple. And the groom could go out and dance with people, and he could have meals with people, and he could laugh, and he could have a great time. And then he'd go in to his wife whenever he wanted, and he could come and go. The groom could, but the bride had to stay in the room. And then at the end of the 7 days, her time was finished that she could now come out and be presented. And it's a great picture of the rapture of the church, that for 7 years, the church will be behind the veil in heaven, and the Lord can come and go, and he can deal with the earth, but you and I will be there till the second coming of Jesus Christ, when we'll come back down to the earth. So it's really a foreshadow of you being taken up as the bride of Christ, and for your seven period, yours is 7 years, you will be behind the veil while the Lord is dealing out in the real world. So that's what he's telling, fulfill her week. And Jacob did so, fulfilled her week, and he gave him Rachel, his daughter, to wife also. And Laban gave to Rachel, his daughter, Bilhah, his handmaid, to be her maid. You really wonder about parents when they name their daughters Zilpah and Bilhah. Zilpah. He went in also unto Rachel, and he loved also Rachel more than Leah. So that's kind of a sad deal, isn't it? And he served with him yet another 7 years. So for 14 years, served his brother-in-law. And when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. That's a very important point in today's society, talking about, you know, test tube babies and surrogate mothers and cloning. The Lord closes up a womb and the Lord opens up a womb. And we don't want to play God. Leah conceived and bare a son. And this is the greatest honor a Hebrew woman, Jewish woman could do, is to have a male child so that the husband's family would carry on and the name would carry on. So this really made her the prima donna in a sense. She was very honored by the rest of the women in the community looked upon with esteem. And God did this to balance out the situation in the home. So even though the word is hated here in verse 31, in verse 30 it says he loved Rachel more than Leah, even though he didn't have the same love, he still had sex with her and showed her attention and she to him. But it must have been emotionally rough on Leah. So she called his name Reuben. This is where the Reuben sandwich gets its name. For she said, surely the Lord has looked upon my affliction. Now therefore my husband will love me. And you know, this is kind of a sad picture. She recognizes that she's been afflicted emotionally. But to use, therefore my husband will love me because I've had the male child. And this is really a wasted point of energy frustration for any woman to use her body to get the attention of a man. And any of you teenage ladies that are here tonight, don't do it, because we men aren't worth it. We're a bunch of idiots. And you'll wonder, why in the world? You look back at the picture and say, that guy's really ugly. What was I thinking? You know, don't think that you're going to get some guy's love by giving him your body. She conceived again and bare a son and said, because the Lord has heard that I was hated, he has therefore given me this son also. And she called his name Simeon. And Simeon means hearing. And she now has Reuben and Simeon. So the kids are starting to come, and they're boys. And so now you're going to start seeing the 12 tribes of Israel. But look how they're coming. And maybe you've heard the term 12 tribes. How many of you have heard the term the 12 tribes of Israel? But did you know that the first two of those tribes' fathers came out of this situation, out of being rejected and out of loneliness, and really wasn't Jacob's first choice? Her sister was the first choice. But you know, there's a scripture that always helps us out, Romans 8:28. Therefore, all things work together for good, for those that love the Lord, that are called according to his will and purpose. God is huge, and he has a plan. And he's going to allow it to work out. And you can fight his plan, or he can go with the flow. You get your choice. And if you fight his plan, you're always going to be struggling and striving. But if you go with the flow, you're just going to accept what God allows to be done. We're vessels in his hand. And this is what's happening here. She's seeing that it's because she's being despised. She's understanding God is honoring her. And she conceived again and bare a son. So this is the third guy. Now this time will my husband be joined unto me. Now she thinks that emotionally, spiritually, physically, they're going to be one just like he and her sister is. Because I've borne him three sons, therefore was his name called 501. Oh, excuse me, Levi. And she conceived again, and she bare a son. She could have been called Fertile Myrtle, I guess. And she said, now will I praise the Lord. Therefore she called his name Judah and left bearing. So she quit bearing. But here are all these sons. She's had Levi, Simeon, Reuben, and now Judah. And Judah really means, it's a translation in the English would be praise the Lord or praise to God. Jew, the word Jew, is a contraction from the word Judah, and it means a praise unto the Lord. So when the name the Jews come into the Bible, the Jewish nation was designed to be a praise unto the Lord. So when you are born again, in the book of Romans, it says that your heart has been circumcised and that you now have been adopted heirs to the throne of God. But he said that he adopted the Gentiles or grafted the Gentiles in to make the Jews jealous. And so actually you're a Jew in heart. You're a spiritual Jew because of the righteousness of Abraham that was imputed to him because of his faith. Because you have faith, you now have righteousness of Jesus Christ imputed to you, that your life is to be a praise to the Lord. And so you want to realize your actions. Is this really a praise to the Lord, what I'm thinking or what I'm doing? And this is where Judah came in. So now, chapter 30, when Rachel saw that she bare Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister and said unto Jacob, give me children or else I die. It's beginning to sound like a soap opera, isn't it? And Jacob's anger was kindled against Rachel, and he said, am I in God's stead who has withheld from you the fruit of the womb? And she said, behold, my maid, Bilhah, go in unto her, and she shall bear upon my knees, that I may also have children by her. And she gave him Bilhah, her handmaid, to wife, and Jacob went in unto her. Now, here we are again. Sarah did this with Abraham, and they know the story of how it doesn't work out. But these men gladly say, well, if you say so. You know, they go have sex with the men are rats, I tell you, ladies. They didn't, no discussion at all. You sure you want to do this? Are you thinking clearly? Man, it shows how low we are, like skunks. So Bilhah conceived and bare Jacob a son. And Rachel said, God has judged me and has also heard my voice and has given me a son. Therefore, she called his name Dan. So now we have the fifth guy here coming on the scene, the tribe of Dan. And the tribe of Dan is up in northern Israel. They settle in northern Israel, just south of the Lebanese border and just west of the Syrian border. And Bilhah, Rachel's maid, conceived again and bare Jacob a second son. Now, there's nowhere that the wife said, you know, go have a couple of nights with her, but he just keeps on going until she says, hey, what are you doing? You know. And so Rachel's maid conceived a second son, and Rachel said, with great wrestlings I have wrestled with my sister, I have prevailed, and she called his name Naphtali. Naphtali settled up in the north in the hills just south of Lebanon, the northwestern side of Israel. When Leah saw that she had left bearing, she took Zilpah, her maid, and gave her Jacob to wife. Boy, Jacob's just having a great time. He's just, well, okay, he's got this playing them against each other. And Zilpah, Leah's maid, bare Jacob a son. And Leah said, a troop comes. This guy had a lot of energy when he's coming out. And she called his name Gad. He gads. And Zilpah, Leah's maid, bare Jacob a second son. And Leah said, happy am I, for the daughters will call me blessed. And she called his name Asher. And Reuben went in the days of wheat harvest and found mandrakes in the field and brought them unto his mother Leah. Then Rachel said to Leah, give me, I pray thee, of your son's mandrakes. Now this word mandrakes is a very interesting Hebrew word. It's caused a lot of discussion for many, many centuries in translations here because it doesn't really give us a clear deal. Mandrake is a bird, you know. Some people say, well, it's like a goose or a gander that's out in the fields and it's out there and, you know, eating whatever's out there, the bugs off of the branches. Up in Oregon, outside of Albany, Oregon, if you're on Freeway 5, there are these mint fields. And we used to drive from Portland to Eugene all the time, visiting my grandparents when I was growing up. And the mint fields, you could smell them miles before you got to them. And you always saw these hundreds and hundreds of white geese that were out in the mint fields. And they were eating the little bugs and things. They never ate the mint. But they had great breath, I'm sure. But they ate the bugs off of them. And they'd fly in during the mint season, and they'd clean the fields for the farmers. And so some say, well, these mandrakes were these birds. So she's saying, give me these birds. But also it translates it as some sort of a sexual arousal plant that could be used, and it was used to stir up like in maybe a hot tea broth or something. You'd drink it and you'd get erotic through it. And then there's a third point of view that it was like an opiate. It was a drug, and that you'd get high off of it. So we really don't know exactly what it is. You have three choices there. I doubt that they're interested in the bird, so it could be the opiate or the erotic tea that they were trying to get here, and it was in season, so she knew that she wanted that, because then if she took it, she could, you know, have a good evening with Jacob. And Jacob came out of the field in the evening, and Leah went out to meet him and said, "Thou must come in unto me, for surely I have hired you with my son's mandrakes." And he lay with her that night. And God hearkened unto Leah, and she conceived and bare Jacob the fifth son. And Leah said, "God has given me my hire, because I have given my maiden to my husband." And she called his name Issachar. And Leah conceived again and bare Jacob the sixth son. And Leah said, "God has endued me with a good dowry. Now will my husband dwell with me, because I have borne him six sons." And she called his name Zebulun. And afterwards she bare a daughter and called her name Dinah. And God remembered Rachel, and God hearkened to her and opened her womb. And she conceived and bare a son and said, "God has taken away my reproach." And she called his name Joseph. So here's Joseph. You've all heard of Joseph. And said, "The Lord shall add to me another son." And it came to pass when Rachel had borne Joseph that Jacob said unto Laban, "Send me away that I may go in unto my own place and to my own country. Give me my wives and my children for whom I have served you, and let me go. For you know my service which I have done for you." And Laban said unto him, "I pray thee, if I have found favor in your eyes, tarry or wait, for I have learned by experience that the Lord has blessed me for your sake." Underline that. Because you want to be a person like that, that other people have blessings because you're part of them. And, you know, you may be blessed because your boss has taken you under his wing or her wing. You may be blessed because of where you work or where you're living. That God has used other people in your life. And you need to esteem them and to honor them and to bless them and to recognize them in your life. And Laban's being very honest here. And he knows that he's increased. And he, of course, sees that his brother-in-law and his sister have increased. And that both of his daughters are going to be taken care of forever. And their names are going to be written in history. He knows all that. But he also is being honest and saying, you know, the only reason I'm blessed is not because I'm smart or I'm a good businessman. It's because you have been here. And God's honoring you and his blessings are on you. And you know what? You've worked 14 years plus for me. And would you just stay a little longer, because I want more blessings? You want to be a person like that, that when you come into a room, people know that you're blessed. They want to know that. And they want to know that they can trust you. And when things start going well, they'll be just like the Philippian jailer that'll run in at the earthquake and say, "What must I do to be saved?" And this is a good picture here of Jacob, of God blessing him and his unconverted brother-in-law saying, "I recognize it." He said unto him, "You know how I have served you and how your cattle was with me, for it was little which you had before I came, and now it is increased unto a multitude. And the Lord has blessed you since my coming, and now when shall I provide for my own house also? What do I get out of it?" And he said, "What shall I give you?" And Jacob said, "You shall not give me anything. If you will do this thing for me, I will again feed and keep your flock." I don't want anything from you. I want it from God. And that's how you want it too. He said, "I will pass through all your flock today." Now follow this closely, because this guy is trusting God that this guy is going to get even with old Uncle Laban for messing with him for 15 years and more. He's very clever. Watch this. "I will pass through all your flock today, removing from there all the speckled and spotted cattle, and all the brown cattle among the sheep, and the spotted and the speckled among the goats. Of such shall be my hire." That's all I want. Well, you know, when you give a sacrifice, it can't be blemished. So Laban's probably saying, "Sounds okay, you want all the speckled and dotted and colored guys out there, huh? You want all those sheep and goats? And all right, you can do that. So shall my righteousness answer for me in time to come, when it shall come for my hire before your face. Everyone that is not speckled and spotted among the goats and brown among the sheep, that shall be stolen with me." So otherwise, when it comes time for me to leave, if I get any white goats or any white sheep You know, because the goats and sheep over there in the Middle East, of course, there's brown ones, long-haired ones. There's brown and white spotted ones. There's black and white spotted ones. And he's saying, if you catch any of those when I'm leaving, you know I've stolen from you. And so Laban said, behold, I would it might be according to your word. We'll do this. And he removed that day the he-goats that were ring-straked and spotted, and all the she-goats that were speckled and spotted, and every one that had some white in it, and all the brown among the sheep, and gave them into the hands of his sons. And he set 3 days' journey between himself and Jacob, and Jacob fed the rest of Laban's flock. So now they're separated, and they're 3 days apart, so that he couldn't say, well, look, your sheep wandered over here. So if he's setting the rules pretty stringent. He said, if there is one that is yours, you'll know it's in my flock. He didn't wander 3 days' journey. We stole him from you, and you can do whatever you want. So he's really setting it up, but he's setting him up, because watch what happens. 3 days' journey. Jacob took him rods of green poplar off the tree, of the hazel and of the chestnut tree, and he pilled white streaks in them and made the white appear which was in the rods. So what he did was that he took the rods and he started carving on them, the branches, and they were all one color, but he would chip off some of the outside, the bark of the branch, so it'd be spotted. Got the picture? Okay. And he set the rods which he had pilled before the flocks in the gutters and the watering troughs when the flocks came to drink, that they should conceive when they came to drink. And the flocks conceived before the rods and brought forth cattle, ring-straked, speckled, and spotted. Now, we don't know why this worked or how it worked, but it worked. It was like a power of suggestion. These sheep and these goats and cattle would come, and every day, and they'd walk up and they'd start drinking. And as they'd drink out of the trough, they would see these spots, you know, in the rods there. And there's some sort of power suggestion that when they conceived and had babies, they had spotted babies. It's something in the water, I guess. I have no idea, but it worked, okay? The flocks conceived before the rods, and Jacob did separate the lambs and set the faces of the flocks towards the ring-straked and all the brown in the flock of Laban, and he put his own flocks by themselves and put them not into Laban's cattle. It came to pass, whenever the stronger cattle did not conceive, that Jacob laid the rods before the eyes of the cattle in the gutters, that they might conceive among the rods. But when the cattle were feeble, he put them not in. So the feebler cattle were Laban's, and the stronger were Jacob's. So he didn't look after his brother-in-law's weak ones. And the man increased exceedingly and had much cattle and maidservants and menservants and camels and donkeys. So he connived his way through this deal, and he's getting stronger than his brother-in-law. So verse chapter 31, he heard the words of Laban's son saying, Jacob has taken away all that was our father. So now there's jealousy. And that's really an important thing. If you've never made a will, no matter how old you are, you should have a will. Because if you die, all of a sudden, either the state is going to get everything you own, or your family is going to fight over it. And so they said, he's taken away from our fathers. That's not true. His father had made a deal, and he's got to live by it. And which was our father's has he gotten all this glory? And Jacob beheld the countenance of Laban. Behold, it was not toward him as before. He's upset, he's angry, he's jealous, he's envious. And the Lord said unto Jacob, time to get out of here. Otherwise, return unto your land, to your fathers, and to your kindred, and I'll be with you. Remember his vow we looked at 2 chapters ago? If you will be with me in the way that I go, and if you will bring me back in peace to my father's house. And now God, many years later, is keeping his promise. You see, God is keeping his promise to you. He just hasn't fulfilled it all yet. And so don't get discouraged. The picture we see in Laban is, though he's conniving here, he's faithful and he's obedient. And he stuck it out as long as God told him to. Jacob sent and called Rachel and Leah to the field and to his flock and said unto them, I see your father's countenance, that it's not towards me as before, but the God of my father has been with me. And you know that with all my power I have served your father. And your father has deceived me. He's changed my wages 10 times. But God suffered him not to hurt me. And just look at our generation. Maybe not in being deceived in your wages, but 10 times in one area, just in the wages he changed, but deceived him in many other ways. Our generation runs from any pressure at all. We surrender. We give up. You know, our generation goes to alcohol, drugs, violence, sex, you name it. We can't take the pressure of not having it our way, because we were trained to have it your way. You deserve a break today. And this guy, no, I told God I'd do this. I'm going to remain faithful to my word. As Jesus said, let your yea be a yea and your nay be a nay. Don't change it. If you signed a contract and you're going to lose on the deal, you still fulfill the contract. You don't say, well, I got the bum deal. That's what Laban's doing. You made a deal, stick with the deal. And so he said, and your father has deceived me. And if he had said thus, that the speckled cattle shall be your wages, then all the cattle bear speckled. And if he had said thus, the ring stake shall be your hire, then bear all the cattle ring stake. Thus God has taken away the cattle of your father, and he's given them to me. With a little help, of course, from him, helping God. It came to pass at the time that the cattle conceived, and I lifted up my eyes, and I saw in a dream, and behold, the rams which leaped upon the cattle were ring-strake, speckled and grizzled. And the angel of God spoke unto me a dream, saying, Jacob, and I said, here I am. And he said, lift up now your eyes and see all the rams which leap upon the cattle are ring-strake, speckled and grizzled, for I have seen all that Laban has done unto you. I am the God of Bethel, where you anointed the pillar. And when you vowed a vow unto me, now rise and get out from this land and return unto the land of your kindred. And Rachel and Leah answered and said unto him, is there yet any portion or inheritance for us in our father's house? Are we not counted of him strangers? For he has sold us, and he has quite devoured also our money. For all the riches which God has taken from our father, that is ours, and our children's. Now then, whatever God has said unto you, do. So now the two wives are finally in agreement on something. They're saying, hey, our dad wasted everything that God gave him, and now God's given it all to you, so we're with you. And Jacob rose up and set his sons and his wives upon the camels. And he carried away all of his cattle and all of his goods which he had gotten, the cattle of his getting, which he had gotten in Padan Aram, for to go to Isaac his father in the land of Canaan. Laban went to shear his sheep, and Rachel had stolen the images of the idols that were her father's, and there's no reason for her to do that. And Jacob stole away unaware to Laban the Syrian, and he told him not that he fled, so he snuck out. So he fled with all that he had, and he rose up and passed over the river and set his face toward the Mount Gilead. This also shows us a spiritual breakdown in the marriage. There's no reason for her to take her father's idols. He worshipped idols, and Jacob should have told her that this isn't the way we worship. So a lot of time has gone here that he hasn't been the spiritual leader, but we'll see that change. And it was told Laban on the third day that Jacob had fled, so he'd been gone away for 3 days. He took his brethren with him and pursued after him 7 days' journey, and they overtook him in the Mount Gilead. And God came to Laban the Syrian in a dream by night and said unto him, take heed that you speak not to Laban either good or bad. And Laban overtook Jacob. And Jacob pitched his tent in the mount, and Laban with his brethren pitched in the Mount of Gilead. And Laban said to Jacob, what have you done that you have stolen away unawares to me and carried away my daughters as captives taken with the sword? Why did you flee away secretly and steal away from me and did not tell me that I might have sent you away with mirth and with songs and with tabret and with harp? And you have not suffered me to kiss my sons and my daughters. You have done foolishly in so doing. It is in the power of my hand to do you hurt. But the God of your father spoke to me yesternight, saying, take heed that you speak not to Jacob either good or bad. Now, though you would need to be gone, because you sore long after your father's house, yet wherefore have you stolen my gods? And Jacob answered and said to Laban, because I was afraid. For I said, peradventure you would take by force your daughters from me. With whomsoever you find your gods, let him not live. He shouldn't have said that, because his wife has him. Before our brethren discern thou what is thine with me, and take it to thee. For Jacob did not know Rachel had stolen them. And Laban went into Jacob's tent, and into Leah's tent, and into two maidservants' tents, but he didn't find them. Then he went out of Leah's tents and entered into Rachel's tent. Now Rachel had taken the images and put them in the camel's furniture and sat upon them. And Laban searched all the tent, but found them not. And she said to her father, let it not displease my lord that I cannot rise up before you, for the custom of women is upon me. And he searched, but found not the images. It was that time of month, and she was saying, I can't get up. And he says, okay. Jacob was angry and chode with Laban, and Jacob answered and said to Laban, what is my trespass? What is my sin? And you have so hotly pursued after me. So now they're really getting uptight. Whereas you have searched all my stuff, why have you found all, what hast thou found in my household stuff? Yet here before my brethren and your brethren, they may judge between us. This 20 years of his life has gone by working with this conniver. I have been with you. Your ewes, your she-goats have not cast their young. The rams of your flock have I not eaten. That which was torn of beast I brought not unto you. I bear the loss of it. My hand did not require it, whether stolen by day or stolen by night. Thus I was in the day of the drought, consumed me, and the frost by night, and my sleep departed from my eyes. Otherwise, I was working 24-hour days for you, looking after your sheep, and if one of them died, I didn't come to you and say, look, I paid for that one. And I did never rip you off. Thus I have been with you 20 years in my house, in your house. I have served you 14 years for your two daughters, six years for your cattle, and you have changed my wages 10 times. Except the God of my father, the God of Abraham, and the fear of Isaac had been with me, surely you had sent me away now empty. God has seen my affliction and the labor of my hands and rebuked you yesternight. You know, you may want to circle that because maybe you don't have everything you think that is rightfully yours, but the day will come that it'll be yours. God says in the Old Testament that he'll save the wealth of the wicked for the righteous in the last days. And, if you're a good steward, God will honor your stewardship, and he'll bless and give to you. So Laban answered and said unto Jacob, these daughters are my daughters, and these children are my children, and these cattle are my cattle, and what you see is mine. What can I do this day unto these my daughters, unto their children, which they have borne? Now therefore come thou, let us make a covenant, I and thou, and let it be for a witness between me and thee. And Jacob took a stone and set it up for a pillar. And Jacob said unto the brethren, gather stones. And they took stones and made a heap, and they did eat there upon the heap. And Laban called it Jigar Sahadutha. That's easy for him to say. But Jacob called it Gilead. And Laban said, this heap is a witness between me and you this day. Therefore was the name of it called Gilead. And Mizpah, for he said, the Lord which watches between me and thee when we are absent from one another, Mizpah, let the Lord stand between us and watch between us. If thou afflicts my daughters, or if you shall take other wives beside my daughters, no man is with us. God is witness between me and you. So let the Holy Spirit stand between you and me. It's a great thing if you don't get along with somebody, settle it and just say, okay, we're not going to make it. As friends, probably, but let's just let the Holy Spirit stand between us. And if you speak evil of me, he'll know it. And if I speak evil of you, he'll know it. So let's let the Holy Spirit be the one that stands between us. And Laban said to Jacob, behold this heap, behold this pillar, which I have cast between me and you. This heap be witness, this pillar be witness, that I will not pass over this heap to you, and that you will not pass over this heap and this pillar unto me for harm. And sometimes we have a heap of mess between us and other people, and we don't want to keep climbing back and forth over the heap. The God of Abraham, the God of Nahor, the God of their father, judge between us. And Jacob swore by the father, the fear of his father, Isaac. And Jacob offered sacrifice upon the mount and called his brethren to eat bread, and they did eat bread and tarried all night. And early in the morning, Laban rose and kissed his sons and his daughters, blessed them, and departed. And then finally, Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. That's an awesome thought. When Jacob saw them, he said, this is God's host. And he called the name of that place Mahanaim. And Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau, his brother, unto the land of Seir, the country of Edom. And he commanded them, saying, thus shall you speak unto my lord Esau. Thy servant Jacob saith thus, I have sojourned with Laban and stayed there until now. And I have oxen and asses and flocks and men servants and women servants. And I have sent to tell my lord that I may find grace in your sight. He remembers 20 years ago his brother wanted to murder him. And maybe there's an issue in your family that could be 20 years old. You may want to just get it settled before the Lord. The messengers returned to Jacob saying, we came to your brother Esau, and also he comes to meet you with 400 men. Oh boy. He sent an ambassador out. Now he's coming back with armies. And he's getting nervous now. Jacob was greatly afraid. Yes, sir. And he was distressed. So he got ready for war. And what did he do? He divided the people that was with him, the flocks, the herds, and the camels, into two bands or two groups. And he said, if Esau come to this one company and smites it, then the other company which is left shall escape. So he's pretty smart. He realized that if he got wiped out, he'd still have half of a fortune. And Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham, God of my father Isaac, the Lord which said unto me, return to your country and to your kindred, and I'll deal well with you. Well, I'm not worthy of the least of all your mercies and of all the truth which you showed unto your servant. For with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I am become two bands. deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he'll come and smite me and the mother with the children. And you said, I will surely do thee good and make thy seed as the sand of sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude. And so he lodged there that same night and took of that which came to his hand a present for Esau, his brother. So now the presents are coming. Flattery. 200 she-goats he's going to give to his brother. 20 he-goats. You give 20 male goats and 200 she-goats, he's going to have thousands when they start birthing. 200 ewes and 20 rams. 30 milch camels with their colts. 40 kine, 10 bulls, 20 she-asses, 10 foals. And he delivered that. I mean, that's worth thousands and thousands of dollars. And the future investment of these things multiplying. He delivered them into the hand of the servants, every drove by themselves. So he put them in separate groups. Now, if somebody gives you a big present, you say, wow. But if they keep drawing it out, you know, you feel like you got. That's what I always do with Sandy. Tomorrow's or Monday's her birthday. And last week was our anniversary. So I like to spoil her for 2 weeks. And I give her a little bit at a time, and she never knows till she gets to the end. And then the big whammy comes. Gift certificates to In-N-Out Burgers. So he puts all these different, the cows in one group, and the female cows in the other group, and the goats in one group, and the ewes in the other group, and the sheep, and the male, and the female, and the donkeys, and the camels. And it looks like it's 10 times greater than what he's really given, you know? And so he's just really got him off balance. He's got, first of all, think of the strategy of this. Half of his wealth and the people are going this way. Half are going that way. So these 400 men are going to have to focus on one place. But they're going to have to get through these hundreds and hundreds of cows and sheep and goats that are just the gifts. So the ambassadors will go forward and say, these are just gifts. But if they're going to try to kill him, they won't know which group he's in. And they got to work their way through this crowd. He's a pretty smart guy. And then Jacob said, oh, my God, you promised me this, and you said, I'll surely do you good. And he lodged there that same night and took of that which came to his hand a present. And he delivered them, verse 16, into the hand of his servants, every drove by themselves, and said to his servant, pass over before me, put a space between each group. So otherwise, you go first. And that's sort of a chicken's way. You know, say, yeah, if he's going to kill anybody, I'll kill those guys first. I can see how bad it is. And so he commanded the foremost, saying, verse 17, when Esau, my brother, meets you and asks you, saying, whose are you? And where do you go? Whose are these before you? Then you shall say, they be thy servant Jacob's. It's a present sent unto my lord Esau. And behold, also he is behind us. These are a present? I mean, he looked like he's really wealthy. And so commanded he the second group and the third group and all that followed the drove, saying, so every time, you know, he's got anger, he's going to say, what? These are gifts from my brother? And he comes to another shepherd with a whole bunch. These are for me? Wow. And then he goes to another. He's appeasing him. And say ye, moreover, behold, your servant Jacob's behind us, for he said, I'll appease him with the present that goes before me, and afterwards I'll see his face, peradventure he'll accept me. So went the present over before him, and himself lodged that night in the company. And he rose up that night, took his two wives, his two women servants, his 11 sons, passed over the ford, because he left the Chevy at home, Jabbok, and he took them and sent them over the brook and sent over that he had. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of day. And this is none other than God. And you know, you may be wrestling with God, and you want to listen carefully to this story. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaks. And he said, I'll not let you go, except you bless me. And he said unto him, what is your name? And he said, my name is Jacob. And he said, your name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince, you have power with God and with men, and you have prevailed. And Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray you, your name. And he said, wherefore is it that you do ask after my name? And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. So God actually wrestled with him, and he changes his name here. He calls him Jacob, and he's going to be called Israel here pretty soon. And as he passed over Penuel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. He's crippled. Therefore the children of Israel eat not of the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh unto this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh in the sinew that shrank. I know that all the pain that I feel, I've hadn't had a pain-free day in close to 10 years. And today it was so bad, I thought, I'm not going to go tonight. I got all the services tomorrow. I thought, no, I'm going to go. God knows I'm in the pain. And I can't take any medication for it. I don't want to take any narcotics or anything. And I know it's God dealing with me because I'm a wrestler. And I'm a strong-willed person. And I just haven't heard what he's saying. So he's touched me so that I have to walk with a limp. And this is the picture here. That he grabbed him in the wrestling match and just grabbed him in the thigh and squeezed it until his sinew shrunk. And so he's now walking with a limp. And this limp is going to be with him his whole life, because he's got to stop and realize this is the second time that he's met God, and he was away for 20 years and didn't learn all of his lessons in those 20 years. He was still manipulating the same way with Laban as he did with his brother Esau when he stole the blessing from him and then sold him the bowl of chili for his birthright. It's the same deal. And God put him in Laban's care for 20 years, and he still didn't learn. Let God take care of you. And if God is dealing with you, it's better for us to get it taken care of quickly so we don't have to walk with these limps. So pray for me that I'll hear what it is. Okay, we'll quit there. Okay, no, we won't. Jacob lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, we'll quit at this one because it finishes the story. Esau came with him 400 men, divided the children unto Leah, unto Rachel, and unto two handmaids, put the handmaids and their children foremost, and Leah and her children aftermost, and Rachel and her and Joseph hindermost. So he's showing his favoritism to Joseph and to Rachel. He passed over before them, bowed himself to the ground seven times until he came near to his brother. Esau ran to meet him and embraced him, fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept. So God had touched his heart. And maybe there's people in your life that you've been fearful of. You know, time heals all wounds. Call them up, straighten it out. He lifted up his eyes, saw the women and the children, and said, "Who are those with thee?" And he said, "The children which God has graciously given your servant." The handmaidens came near, and they and their children, and they bowed themselves. And Leah also with her children came near and bowed themselves. And after that, Joseph came near, and Rachel, and they bowed themselves. Isn't it interesting how Joseph is right here, so close to Rachel, whom he loves so much, and God's preparing him for who he's going to be as an adult? He knows what it's like to be under the pressure of maybe assassination. He knows the pressure of the family squabbles, and yet he's real close to mom and to dad. And he said, "What means you by the drove which I meant?" And he said, "These are to find grace in the sight of my Lord. Otherwise, I'm trying to grease your palm." And Esau said, "I have enough, my brother. I don't need them. Keep that you have unto yourself." And Jacob said, "No, I pray, if you now I have found grace in your sight, that you receive my present at my hand. For therefore I have seen your face as though I had seen the face of God, and you was pleased with me. Take, I pray thee, my blessing that is brought to you, because God has dealt graciously with me, and because I have enough." And he urged him, and he took it. And he said, "Let me take our journey, and let us go, and I will go before you." And he said unto him, "My Lord knows that the children are tender, the flocks and the herds with young are with me, and if men should overdrive them one day, all the flock would die. Let my Lord, I pray you, pass over before his servant, and I'll lead on softly, according as the cattle that goes before me, and the children able to endure, until I come unto my Lord, unto Seir." And Esau said, "Let me now leave with thee some of the folk, the people that are with me." And he said, "What needs it? Let me find grace in the sight of my Lord." So Esau returned that day on his way unto Seir. And Jacob journeyed to Succoth and built him a house and made booths for his cattle. Therefore the name of the place is called Succoth. And Jacob came to Shalem, a city of Shechem, which is in the land of Canaan, when he came from Padan Aram, and pitched his tent before the city. And he bought a parcel of a field where he had spread his tent at the hand of the children of Hamor, Shechem's father, for 100 pieces of money. And he erected there an altar and called it El Elohi Israel. And we'll stop there. Lord, we want to thank you for this picture here of this family as it's expanding, as Abraham's blessings are expanding onto Isaac, and then from Isaac to Jacob. All of our life, Christian life, we've heard of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and as we're coming to the end here of Jacob, we then realize that his sons are now going to carry on the blessings, and we get to see them all go different ways. And through it all, we see that you're a God of grace, that you just put up with us. And yet, so many times, as God-fearing people and as Christian people, we live so to the letter of the law that we miss your grace and your mercy, and that we miss just living our lives and enjoying. And so I'd pray for all those that hear this message, that they would just realize that families have squabbles, family have fights, family have disagreements. There is no perfect family. And yet we have great responsibility to love each other and to take care of each other and to stand with each other. We see that Rachel envied Leah, and Leah thought she could use her body to win Jacob. And Lord, we don't want to use fleshly manipulation or carnal means to gain anybody's love. We just want to love as Jesus Christ would love. And you said if we would lay our lives down for our brethren, that's the love you're looking for. No man has any greater love than that, you said. And then you just ask us simply to love you with all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our soul, and all of our strength. And then to love our neighbors as ourselves. And so give us that strength, give us that power that we could love, that we don't need to manipulate. And if there's any listening that has piles and heaps between them and their brother or their cousin or an in-law, may they tonight take that place of Jacob and say, may your Holy Spirit stand between us. May we just let your Spirit work on both sides, and that we'll walk away as friends and commit to each other, that we're not going to ever hassle each other again. But because we're both strong-willed, we want your Spirit between us to protect each of us from harming ourselves or going against our word. May you bless all these people and give them a great night. And may your word sink deeply into our hearts. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.